Thanks, David. Thanks so much. David's such a good friend and does a great job every week with you guys and gals, so it's an honor to be able to come. Not only the book there, I want to point your attention to something else, this little postcard that should be in the middle of your table. A portion of the proceeds of the book go to sponsor this ministry called As Our Own, and what they do is they rescue girls from trafficking in India, and these girls are daughters of women that work in the red light district. So if these girls aren't rescued, they're going to follow along in the same footsteps, and obviously none of us would want that to happen, including their moms. And so that'll give you a little bit more information, too, of it's not just a book, but being able to help sponsor a ministry that's happening as well. And if you want me to sign your book at the end, I'd love to do that. Some people have asked for that, and that'd be great. So I want to give you a Christmas message today. Here's what we're going to do. I have a little crowd participation for a moment. I want you to name some characters of Christmas and see if how many we can come up with. So let's name some. Who's some characters of Christmas? Jesus. Very, very good and impressive to the pastor. Way to go. Awesome. Jesus. Mary. Good, good. Catholics, you better get Mary, right? If you're Catholic in the room, for sure. The Magi, yes, the wise men. The innkeepers. Joseph. I know dads were always left out, aren't we? Joseph, that's good. Caesar Augustus, yes. Herod. Gabriel, yes. You fell into my trap. Here was my trap. I thought that the angels would be mentioned last. That the angel Gabriel, as far as announcing the birth with Mary, we're going to look at angels today. You've got a little listening guide there. If you'll take that out. Angels. What do you think of when you think of angels? Let me give you a couple slides of pictures, and maybe this is what you think of when you think of angels. Let's look at this. Is that what you think of when you think of an angel? Sweet little chubby baby. Well, that's probably not what an angel looked like, because every time an angel showed up, they had to say, "Do not be afraid." And no one would say that to the sweet little chubby babies. Maybe this is what you thought when you thought angels. You're like, "Oh, yeah, Farrah, we got it. Jacqueline Smith, Kate, can't remember her last name, whatever." So that's maybe what you thought about angels. Maybe the guys in the room, this is what you thought of when you thought of angels. You thought of angels in that way. Maybe this is it. If you're a little sappy, this might be it. Oh, yeah, Michael Landon. We've been watching Little House on the Prairie at our house. We bought the complete set, which is every Little House on the Prairie that's ever existed. And my daughter, who's 5, wants to watch a Little House every single day. And it's great because she snuggles with me. There's always a good cry in a Little House on the Prairie. There's always a bad cry. "Oh, no, don't miss Olsen," you know. I mean, all that. So maybe that's it. I think that, is that all the angels I have? I think that's my completed ones. When you think of angels, what do you think of when you think of angels? Well, Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, gives us some great words about angels. Now, before we get to Luke, let me tell you what angels are. Angels are messengers. That's what they are. They're to be messengers. That's your first blank there. Type A's. Fill it out. Let's go. We've got it. Angels are messengers. So we're going to see that they're going to declare a message, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about more about that in just a few moments. But Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be, and that's on the back of your listening guide if you want to look at that. If you want to read along, you can sure do that. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16, and this is what it says. "In the same region, the shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night." I don't think any of us said shepherds. That'd be a good one as well. Then verse 9, "Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Okay, so it wasn't Pharaoh and it wasn't a little baby. They were terrified. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Circle that phrase, "all the people." "Today a Savior, who is a Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in the feeding trough." Suddenly there was a great multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and to people he favors." When the angels, notice that it's plural, so the heavenly host was a group of angels. When the angels left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what is happening, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. So here we have the angels at Christmas. Angels are intriguing to us, aren't they? Billy Graham wrote a book called Angels. In 4 months, he sold 1 million copies. 4 months to sold 1 million copies. I'm hoping that my book sells 1 million copies in like 44 years, okay? 4 months, and people are intrigued by angels. We want to know more about angels. What's the deal? There's an inscription over an old Scottish church in Scotland. It said this: though God's power be sufficient to govern us, yet for man's infirmity, he has appointed angels to watch over us. We love the thought that there's angels, that they're guiding, that they're able to help us and protect us. We love the thought of guardian angels. It intrigues us. So let's study about angels for just a few moments. First of all, as I told you, angels are messengers. Well, what do they give a message for? They give messages of announcements. Now, let me tell you how many times angels are mentioned in the Bible. They're mentioned in 34 books of the Bible. There's 66 books, 34 books, or over half. The Old Testament is mentioned 100 times, and the New Testament is mentioned 165 times. 100 times and 165 times. Then you could see also we've got their creation, when angels are used to usher in new periods of time and to make big announcements. Let's take the slide down, if you would, because you got all my blanks filled out for me already, and y'all will cheat and you won't listen to my message. All right, here we go. There we go. Let's just stay on that slide, and I'll hit the blanks as we go. Okay, now we have that the angels are mentioned all throughout the books of the Bible. They're mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament. So Christ believed, and the Bible teaches that they're real. It's not just some sappy little thing. It's that it's real. So what do they do? Here's your blank. God uses angels to usher in new periods of time and make big announcements. Ushering new periods of time and make big announcements. So what are their big announcements that they would make? Let me give you a few verses of scripture. Job 38, verse 6 and 7, talking about creation. On what were the foot settings set, and who laid its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? So your first thing there, letter I, is creation. They announced creation. So there was a declaration of creation. The next one there, the giving of the Mosaic Law. That's your blank, Mosaic Law. The giving of the Mosaic Law. So in this, we have the giving of the Mosaic Law that they declared that. What was the purpose of the law? And it says in Galatians chapter 3, the law was put in effect through angels by a mediator. Hebrews chapter 2, if the message was spoken by angels, it was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. Number 3, Christmas that we just talked about. Christmas was announced by angels. Think about the angel came and spoke to Mary, said, you are going to be with child. The angel spoke to the shepherds, the story we just read, the account we just read. So they announced these important things. The early church was announced by angels. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 12, the angels are showing up and freeing these guys from prison when they're in prison in those times that they were taken into bondage, into prison. In Cornelius's house, there's an angel that Peter sees, an angel lowering the sheet over and over before he goes to Cornelius's house to say that the gospel can go to those people that are not Jewish. It's kind of like this. It's like the press conference of today's world. Think about a press conference. What do? They get everybody in the room. There's a big announcement. Then we see on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever you watch, it starts breaking news going across the bottom. Press conference in 5 minutes. Then the 5 minutes comes. Press conference in 10 more minutes. Press conference in 15 minutes. Press conference. If you notice, everything is breaking news. And it just we're going to talk to our extreme weather center today. It's 72 degrees and partly cloudy. The extreme weather center. With breaking news. And we have this huge press conference because we want to declare the big announcement. The Olympics are going to be in such and such. The Super Bowl is going to be in Houston, aren't we glad? All of these big announcements that come, the angels come, and it's the press conference of all press conferences. There's one last thing that they are going to announce, and it's really the most important thing in the sense of what's coming up, the future thing, and it's the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ, that they're going to announce that in the sense of this, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his heavenly throne. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. It says, and the Lord himself will come down with a loud command and the voice of the archangel with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. So the angels are announcers of new big things. That's what they're doing, is announcing. Have you ever found this at Christmas time? And if you haven't, guys, you really need to take note. Presentation is very important at Christmas, isn't it? It's not just the gift you get, it's how is it presented? The pretty little package, the pretty bow, the I love you so much right before you give the gift. If you just kind of like got, you know, you're going to get a really nice gift and your husband just slid it across the counter at breakfast. Here you go. That's not going to work, is it, ladies? That's not it. Some of the guys are like, what? What? You got it. What's the deal? It's very efficient. Bow, wrapper. I want you to know I went to 5 different places to get this. This was something I really thought about. And even before, you can get a lot of, oh, thank you, you're so sweet, before they've even opened up the gift. Just the presentation. And then the gift hopefully is the icing on the cake and it's really, really good. But the presentation is key. When God's doing these great things and marking these moments in history, we're saying creation, Mosaic law, Christmas, the early church, the second coming of Christ, those are pillar moments in the Christian history and the biblical history. And he's announcing it with great things. So what's their primary ministry, though? If this is what they're doing, announcing, what are they really doing? Roman numeral 2, the next blanks that you have there. The angel's primary ministry is to praise God and help his children. Praise God and help his children. That's what they're doing. They're praising God and helping his children. I love that. In relation to God, angels minister in worship and praise. This morning I read in my quiet time, Isaiah chapter 6. It says that the angels were centered around the throne of God and they cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Wow! In Revelation, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And they fly around his throne and there they are in majesty, worshiping and praising God. They rejoice in what God has done. It says in the Gospels that when someone comes to Christ in a personal relationship with Christ, the angels rejoice. So if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, if you've never trusted and believed in Jesus' death on the cross to pay for your sin, guess what's going to happen? When you make that decision, when you trust Jesus to be your forgiveness, wash you clean, live in your heart, heaven throws a party, throws a party. It's awesome. The angels rejoice. They rejoice. They serve him. They minister to him. Not that he needs it, but they're ministering praise to him. The angels ministry to the church. They're able to encourage us in times of danger. There's encouragement that happens that you see biblically of angels being able to encourage. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is encouraged. It says, last night an angel of God, of whose I am and whom I serve, God who serves, said, do not be afraid, Paul, but you must stand trial before Caesar. So the angels come and said, don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. When they came to the tomb, where did you take his body? The angels are there in shining clothes. An amazing, amazing help to be able to help with that. Now, my son, I have a 12-year-old son, a 5-year-old girl, daughter, and we try to do good bedtime of putting them down and getting a glass of water and then putting them down and then getting a glass of water and putting them down and getting a little bit of food and put, and it's like, and so I have this phrase, and you can use it. I don't know that it's godly, but you can use it if you want. I'm like, Daddy's nice till 9, okay? Daddy's nice till 9. I will do anything you want till 9, but at 9, I get like an hour a day of 9 to 10 that I get to do anything I want to do. And then, you know, at 10, I'm trying to go to bed so I don't go to bed too late. So Daddy's nice till 9. So we do all that. So we have bedtime stuff. So we start talking about, I mean, all sorts of things. Are there dinosaurs? Or I mean, you know, it goes all over the gamut, you know, when you're putting kids to bed. And so we were talking about angels one night with my son. He was about 10 years old, maybe 9. So we started talking about angels. And he was like, so they have swords? I'm like, Sure, they got swords. They want swords. Yeah, they got swords. Do they have wings? Yeah. I mean, we're just kind of going like Braveheart angel is what he wanted, you know. So we're talking about angels, and he says, well, are there any right now in here? And I'm like, yeah, right now. They're surrounding us. Who knows? Right now in this room, it's kind of spooky, isn't it? Angels ministering to us, helping us. Messengers of praise of the Lord. So I got up from the bed. I was going to turn off the light. When I got out of his bed, I started going, excuse me, pardon me. He's like, no, really, you can feel him. I'm like, yeah, pastors can totally do this, you know. But angels are around us, surrounding us to encourage us. Now, here's what's key. Angels are not an object of our worship, though. God is the only object of our worship. So we're not going to maximize angels. It's not my intent to do it all. I'm just trying to show you one of the tools in the spiritual realms that God uses. Jesus on the cross, I could call down a legion of angels in this moment and take me off the cross. But he didn't, and he remained on the cross to pay for our sin. So God has a tool of angels that he uses. There's verses of scripture that you can see. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. See if I can find it here. You might have to just believe me. But it talks about, yeah, here it is. Chapter 16, verse 22. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and he was buried. So angels there at the place of death. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, see that you do not look down on these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. So that's where we get the phrase guardian angels, for children's guardian angels type thing. And that's a whole other thing to talk about, but that's Matthew 18, verse 10. We only get two angels mentioned by name in the Bible. Who knows who they are? Gabriel and Michael, that's very right, that's right. We get the archangel Michael, and then we get Gabriel, and then we don't have any other that are named. Do you know that angels are always male? We usually think about it as pretty females, don't we? We're going to have a huge Christmas celebration that starts this weekend. It's going to be awesome. I hope you get to come sometime. It's amazing. It's sold out, but it, maybe later on you can come or whatever. But it's amazing. But we'll have all these angels in this one moment, and a lot of them are female, you know, which it's... I mean, maybe, I don't think God's going to strike us down, but usually when you see them here in the scriptures, they're always male. Did you see the Bible on the History Channel? If you didn't, you should buy the DVD. We got them at Costco. It's like $26 for the whole thing. And we've been watching them as a family, so it's really, we're very weird. We go from like a little house to Noah, you know? And these angels show up, and I'm telling you, they are like kick your behind angels. Beat you down at swords. Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, it is full on, don't mess with these cats. Powerful, powerful. So God has his work through angels. I want to show you, as we think about, you know, we have misconceptions that they're all female, misconceptions that they're all little children. Let me show you my favorite Christmas ornament growing up. And this is true. This was on my tree from when I was about 7 years old, native Houstonian. There it is. You know who that is? Who knows who that is? Earl Campbell, the Tyler Rose. We had that on our Christmas tree, and I actually had it with me, and I left it in the car, David. When we got out in the parking garage, I had it with me. But the good thing, I took a picture of it. That little angel in the Love You Blue days was Earl Campbell, and we still have it. Still on our tree now, and my wife every year is like, do you still want this thing? I'm like, yes, I still want this thing. It's like my youth, Love You Blue, Dan Pastorini, I mean, all these people. So, misconception of angels. Now let's talk just a bit, if we can for a moment, about the Christmas story. This is your blank. Christmas means all are invited to Christ. Peasants, priests, shepherds, and us. Peasants, priests, shepherds, and us. Did you see what it said? It's in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. I had you circle it. It says, and there will be news of great joy that will be for all the people. I want you to say those three words with me. Ready? All the people. One more time. All the people. This great news of great joy is for all of the people. That's what's so exciting about Christmas. You know, every gift at Macy's, it's not for all the people because all the people can't afford it. It's true. You know, all the activities that we have at Christmas is not for all the people because not everybody was invited to that party, right? Not doesn't mean we're being rude about it. It's just it's your company Christmas party, so that your company's the one who's invited or whoever it is. All the gifts underneath the tree, it's not for all of the people in your neighborhood. It's for your children and your family. All of these things are not for all of these people. But I tell you what is for all the people. Jesus is for all the people. And the angels declared this, and when they declared it, they said the news of great joy that will be for all the people. That's a huge announcement because previously in the Old Testament, it was for the Jewish people. Most of us in this room, you're not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. We're Gentiles, meaning non-Jews. And now it declares in the New Testament, all the people can come in. So you can come to Christ without the Mosaic law. You can come to Christ without the Jewish law being kept. You can come to God, I should say, without the Jewish law. You can come to God through Christ who's open to all the people. So you can go into any country, in any place in the world, and you can declare that Jesus is for you. You know, sometimes in American Christianity, we get the health, wealth gospel. If you come to Christ, God will make you rich and healthy and happy. You know what? I've been in the poorest places in India. That message won't fly. You're not going to be rich, most likely, on this little street in India. Not going to happen. But you can come to Jesus in forgiveness and know him in your life. That message can be proclaimed anywhere on planet Earth. For a while, I couldn't get life insurance because I had been to too many dangerous places. I'd been in the course of about 2 years, I'd been to China, I'd been to Cuba, I'd been to Venezuela, I'd been to India later on, all these different places, and they looked at it and they said, you are uninsurable, or you're a terrorist, or you're in the oil business. I don't know what's going on. You're uninsurable. And I came home and I said, Kelly, we are like, that's my wife, Kelly, we're kicking it for Jesus. We can't even be insured. We're so dangerous for the gospel. This is awesome. But there's angels with us, and in each one of those places, it's for all the people. And so I just want to tell you that, and then we'll get to the last point, and we'll be done. No matter what you've done, Christmas, Jesus coming, is for you. It's for you. It's not for the mall. It's not for the tree. It's not for the snacks. It's not for the lights. It's not for all this hubbub. It's for you and for me to come to Jesus. And that's what the angel said. It's for all the people. So if you think you've done stuff that's too bad, are you in all the people? You are. Come to Jesus and let Christmas be about him. And then the last thing, the appropriate response to an angel is to fear, then follow their directive today. Today, okay? That's the last word, today. Let me show you that. It says there in the scripture, in verse 16, it says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph with a baby lying in the manger. Y'all know this? What is gallery furniture's big word? Save you money. But then what's their other thing? It's on all their trucks. Today. You can get delivery today. That's the thing we like. You can come to Jesus today. You can grow in your walk with Christ today. But you know what verse, you know what word we like when we talk about spiritual things? Tomorrow. God wants me to be obedient. Tomorrow, I'll get on that. God wants me to spend time with him. You know, tomorrow. Saturday night, you know what? Our family should be in church. Tomorrow, Sunday, maybe next week, and on it goes. And we keep pushing it further and further. The appropriate response to an angel is to fear and then follow their directive today. I just want you to know, in case you see an angel today, okay, just in case, just do what they say, okay? My goodness, do what they say today. Don't wait. And the same thing when the Lord speaks to your heart. How many things we put off till tomorrow? We know the road of good intentions is paved with gold, isn't it? But we don't get it done. Be better to do half of it today than to say you're going to do all of it tomorrow. Get it done and let that happen, and you will be able to see God doing his work in your life. Let me give you a little story, and we're done. Guy's name was John Patton, and he was a missionary to some islands in the Pacific. And one night, this is like natives coming around him. These natives surrounded the mission station, and they were intent on killing him and his family. He and his wife were praying during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. So they're seeing the natives getting restless. The natives are getting restless, and they're in their tent, and they're praying, God, would you deliver us? God, would you deliver us? God, would you protect us? Would you protect us? When daylight came, they were amazed to see that the attackers had left. A year later, the chief of the tribe came to Christ. Chief of the tribe came to Christ. Remembering what happened, Patton asked the chief, and he said, you were going to burn down our house and kill us. What kept you from doing that? This was the chief's response. Who were all of those men with you there? Who were all of those men with you there? Patton knew that there was no men present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. Whoa. What do you do? You believe that? God believes, Jesus believes in angels. No. You believe that? Tell you what, if that's your family inside that tent, the atheists will be asking for that. And there they stood with those drawn swords. We don't worship angels. Not trying to elevate angels above Jesus at all. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. But God in his power has one of the characters of Christmas that we forget about to be his powerful messengers of good news and protection for his people as they praise him for all of eternity. So, this next couple weeks, you're going to see angels all over the place in little ornaments, a little this, a little that. You think back to this and say, thank you, Lord, for your power and your strength and that you've announced that I too can come to you at Christmas. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you. We love you. We ask you, God, that you, Father, would speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that there are angels among us right now that we cannot see. We're so good at the physical body, but we don't always see the spiritual things. And just as C.S. Lewis says, we're not a body with a soul. We're a soul that happens to have a body. And so the things unseen, we welcome those. We need those. May this message encourage us, Lord. As we see beautiful ceramic or crystal angels, whatever it is, it symbolizes that. But we know something deeper is going on. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope you have a Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoy the book. Man, have a great time with that. And bless you so much. And we'll see you next time after the first of the year. January 8th is the next high point.